Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Well, we're in Romans chapter 13. If you have your Bibles, turn there with me. And if you would, as those are already doing, and Josh was, but then he decided to sit down, if you would stand for the reading of the Word of God. Why do we do that? To honor him who wrote it. It truly is food for our soul, but more than that, it's a map to our lives. The Holy Spirit's help leads us in the truth, helps us to not waver back and forth, but to stand in his truth. The title of this message is Listen Up. And if we do, something's going to happen. Chapter 13 in Romans, starting at verse 11. And do this, knowing the time. But now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let's pray. Father, your word says that your eyes look to and fro throughout the whole earth to show yourself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are completely yours. Lord, my prayer this morning is that we would be those people. That you, Lord, would stir into our hearts to listen up, to take to heart what we're going to hear this morning, and be men and women that no more are beaten down, but stand in the truth that you give by the power of your Spirit living in us. These things shall be. So, Father, we come to you asking in our Lord and Savior's name, hear our cry, O Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Take note, verse 11, that salvation is near. Salvation comes three ways, if you will, for us. First of all, we're saved from the penalty of sin. It's our justification. We learned this back in Romans chapter 5. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. The second part of salvation is that you and I are free from the power of sin. It's our sanctification. You remember, we've read this in Romans. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit of holiness to the end everlasting life. Sanctification, excuse me, but we're also in salvation are in the present, are no more in the presence of sin, excuse me, no more in the presence of sin. It is your glorification. This is what he's speaking of here, that your glorification is going to happen. You shall be sinless. Think about that. No more sin. No more battle. No more struggle. No more strife. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at that last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? Or Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to happen. Done deal. God already sees us as being perfect. But notice the word knowing. It means to pay attention, observe, notice, discern. What? The time. What time? Time to what time brings, the state of time, the things and events of time. Now, be aware, be awake. Look at the time. It's getting short. As we see the things happening around us right now. Israel being a nation, Israel being hated. The nations coming together, unifying themselves together with a common goal. One world economy, one world government, one world religion. As we see the United States falling apart, it seems. China becoming stronger. All these things relate to the end times. And you think, wait a minute. We have something good going on right now. This is a change, right? It can be. Everything's going to go smooth. Well, possibly. Is this a reprieve? See, we have to look at the times and understand something. No society that embraces immorality survives. None. See, we've come to a place where the church is not the influence it once was. We see things happening around us now that's awful hard to stop. And if you stand up and voice the truth, you're called intolerant. Christians are being persecuted more than ever all around the world. If you're a Muslim, you can speak out. If you're a Buddhist, you can speak out. But a Christian? Even Joe Rogan said the same thing. Something about Christians, they can't voice their opinion. Not an exact quote. That's what he said. It's interesting. Where's our voice? What happened? But again, everything seems to be going smooth, right? Trump's in office. As one person says, the adults are back into the room. But let me warn you of something. But you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. But when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. As labor pains upon a pregnant woman, they shall not escape. Now what am I doing here? Trying to make you scared? No, I'm not. No. It's like I said. If we listen up, each one of us are going to be changed. But it really does come down to us. What is Paul saying here? He says, do this knowing the time that we're living in. It's high time. It's time to what? Wake up. Wake up. See, we were just talking in the break, how weeks go by so quickly now. The days as you get older, pretty much things kind of become even keel in some ways. Yes, parents, there's hope for that. But still, you never know what's going to happen today to day. As you get older, health issues can arise or other things can happen. Where none of us are guaranteed of getting out of here alive. We're all going to die eventually unless Christ comes. And that is a great possibility. But see, there's something more for you and me. There's something more in this life. It's just not about coming here into this church and worshiping God and then going out Monday and getting beat up. or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or whatever day you find yourself getting beat up. That's not what life's about. It never was, not according to Christ. Once you came to Christ, it all became new. It's all different now. And it's so easy for us to fall asleep in apathy. But truly, the thing is for all of us is to understand something. Wake up. Paul said it this way. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then, you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which there is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. As I see the things happening around me, as I understand my own weakness, there's something to be done here. It's wake up. I need God's Spirit every day. No, I need God's Spirit every moment. I need, just as the word in Greek is, I need His breath. I need Him to breathe on me. And I need to basically breathe it in. Everything, wake up. I can't live my life apart from Him. It's too hard. Wake up. Wake up. Peter said, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious. Be watchful in your prayers. Open up your heart and say, I'm done. I'm waking up to something new. Something that God has promised to each of us. To wake up. Now, notice our salvation is nearer than we first believed. What does that mean? That means your glorification. But for that to happen, just as we read in 1 Corinthians, Jesus Christ must first come back for His church. Jesus said it this way. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up. Lift up your heads, because your redemption draweth nigh. Number two, wake up, number one. Number two, look up. Time's short. He's coming back. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. And Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your crown. Are you ready? Am I ready? Are we still seeing life through our own eyes, rather than the understanding that we were all bought at a price? That we're all to be instruments in His hand? See, the battle is my selfishness versus what God desires in my life. And we'll touch on that later. But again, let's go back. It's to wake up. It's to look up. Now look at verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness. Wise up. Wake up, look up, wise up. Ephesians 4:18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Why is that? Because the gospel is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine on them. So awake to righteousness. Do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak to your shame, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now, I just gave you several scriptures. Ephesians 4:18, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, 1 Corinthians 15:34, 2 Corinthians 2:11, Ephesians 5:14 through 15 and 8. But it all went smooth, didn't it? What was it encouraging us to do? Be wise. The enemy prowls. It's easy to become apathetical. It's easy to just go with the flow. But you and I are called to something so much more. As the world's in darkness, we're called to be light. To shine Jesus Christ into this dark world so that men may see the glory of God. I dare say, in us. His light shining through each of us. We say, wake up, look up, wise up. Now notice something here. Verse 12 goes on to say what? Let us put on the armor of light. Gang, it's time to suit up. It's time to clothe ourselves in God's armor. You know the passage. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all, stand. Have you done that? Have I done that? Do you find your knees weak? Do you find yourself sitting down? Do you find yourself saying, you know, I'm going to sit this one out? As you get older, like some of us, like Kevin, he has to sit down sometimes. Sometimes he's tired. He's out. He's winded. And he goes, hey, I'll catch you guys later. Okay, I'm sitting next to him. That's a different story. The point is that we don't have the lungs we once had. But spiritually speaking, it doesn't fit. Because in our weakness, we're going to find out something. It's his strength. So to armor up is to understand that everything that we need in this life pertaining to the struggle that we are in has been given to us. It's ours. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Because greater is he that is in you than he that's in this world. Now, these are passages we've heard. These are teachings we understand. I get it. Wake up. Look up. Wise up. Suit up. You're all going amen. But I'm still not getting it. Because I'm still getting beat up. Let's go on. Look at verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. The word walk, it means to make one's way. It means to progress. It means to conduct one's life properly. It means to grow up. It means to grow up. Colossians 1:10 says that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. See, the struggle is this. If we want to get down to it, it's just not you, it's me too. Remember when I'm pointing my finger, there's three of them pointing at me. The thumb, I don't know where it's pointing. It means to look at these things and understand that God has given you everything that you need in this life. Everything. But it means to take them to heart and put them into practice. It means to grow up. Just as you want your kids to grow up. I've gone out of the stage. I'm very thankful that every one of my kids get it. It means you have to take care of yourself. And if you get married or if you have loved ones, you take care of them. It's grow up. Take the responsibility. It's something when you're a teenager, you don't like hearing, but as you get older, you see the richness of it. You see the blessing of it. You see the purpose of it. But that's what you desire for your kids, to grow up, to be able to take situations and to deal with them properly. Not to run and hide, not to whine and complain, but to do what you need to do in any circumstance. Be responsible, be loving, be caring, but grow up. The battle which some of you are already in, some of you are out of, some of you haven't even begun, is the teenage years. It's not like they're so horrible because it's part of that growing up. See, kids start to rebel against their parents. Oh, it might be small, it might be large, but the whole thing is they're trying to figure things out. They're trying to, if you will, grow up. And to do that, they have to separate themselves from you. It's kind of a tug of war. And what you're doing is you're allowing them enough rope, but not so much that they hang themselves. But they learn to walk. They learn to figure out. They learn to think for themselves. You're teaching them something that society needs to together teach youth: common sense, to use your brain. When I was in school, there's been more than one teacher that would look at us and says, use your God-given brain. Yes, they would say God then. Think. Think. In our case, it means grow up. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Peter goes on to say, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, evil speaking, as newborn babes desiring the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Hey, gang. It's leave it behind. Your past, your failures, your successes, everything behind. It's irrelevant. It's only relevant, hear me out, when God brings it up to teach. The enemy will constantly bring it up to puff you up or bring you down. To maturity means to let it go. That now is the day of salvation. Now this day my salvation is near. It's to wake up. It's to grow up. It's to go on. It's like children right now. There's a baby in the front. I know something about that baby. The baby needs to be by mama. And that's okay. If that baby is 22 years old and still like that, we're in trouble. In fact, more so to the parents. Grow up. Go out. Explore. Experience. Get yourself messy. What was that girl, that lady in the bus, magic school bus or whatever? Get messy. Get messy. Let your faith do the walking. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to take these things to heart and to hear what God is telling us. How? I know. You're saying it. I'm not going to tell you anything new. But my prayer is for all of us to have ears to hear what God would say to us. Look at 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. That word put on, it means put on clothes, yeah. But here's the deeper meaning of it. To sink into. To plunge into. To submerge into. Who? Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is this. He's saying, sink into, plunge into, submerge yourself into Christ. Paul said it this way, I have been crucified with Christ, I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Our struggle is just a simple thing. We're still living for self. Wait a minute. This is telling us to wake up. Look up. Wise up. Suit up. Grow up. Now, Paul's telling us, power up. Power up. Paul says in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. He goes on to say in Ephesians, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. In 2 Corinthians, he said this, Paul says, God said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I'd rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Peter goes on to say, as his divine power has been given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Why are we so weak? Because we keep getting in the way. Not in a good way. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides or submerges himself, if you will, plunge into, sink into me. And I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. I don't care how mature you think you are. I don't care how smart you think you are. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. It has nothing to do, God would tell us, the power that I desire to bestow upon you, but you keep getting in the way. Tozer used to say the reason why so many people aren't filled with the Holy Spirit, it's like a pitcher. A pitcher that Christ wants to just flow into us, overflowing. But the problem is there's not much room because it's filled with self. We're in the way. We're in the way. if time is what we think it is now, if we are coming to the end of this age, and regardless, that's irrelevant. What I mean by that is this, is that the church should always be waiting on the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what age. But still, the thing is as we see these things happening, we understand something. It's time to wake up. He could be coming back any minute. He could be coming back by the end of this service, by the end of the time that we're eating soup. And some of you are going, I hope it's at least till the end of soup because I want to eat some soup. But it could be any second now, in the twinkling of an eye. In a breath, you know what a twinkle in an eye is? You can't even, I think it's what? What is it? What is it, Brian? You should know that. What is it? Come on, Brian, you got to help me with this. What is it? One in every 100th second or 100th second? I don't know. But it's just barely a blink. You understand? He's telling us now it's time. My eyes are running to and fro, trying to find those whose hearts are not on themselves, but on me. That I'm their affection. I'm their desire. I'm the one they thirst after. I'm the one they're hungry for. I'm the one that is their all. Now, not just Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They understand this truth because I so want to flow through them. If anyone thirsts, if anyone's hungry, if anyone desires, let him come to me and drink. And out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But you notice that in suiting up, he's telling us something. Get ready for war. I know we don't like to talk about that much in churches. But there's a real enemy. And he uses something that you would be so surprised. Ever, you know, you watch maybe a movie and you're rooting for a character, but there's somebody that's tipping everybody off and you're thinking, oh, who's the rat? Who's the one that's doing it? And then you find out it's the character you like. And you're going, oh, now I got to change my feelings toward this character. Now I don't like him or her. This person's evil. It's horrible. I won't vote for that person. I won't hope for that person anymore. I won't root for that person anymore. Let me tell you something. There's a spy amongst you and me. Before you start pointing your fingers at somebody else, I'll tell you who the enemy uses. Uses you against yourself. Only this three times. Did I mention that his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to find that person whose heart is turned towards him? That he sees his life, everything in it now clear? That it's not about my accomplishments. It's not about what you think of me. It's not how my hair looks. Does it look okay, son? Is it okay? Because he'll tell me afterwards. It's not about what you wear. It's not about anything about you, how tall you are, how short you are, how slim you are. It doesn't matter. Because God, in his great love and mercy, loves you because he made you. And for all of us, he first wants us to look up to him. He wants to do it so much in us. I was reading in my devotion this morning to see if I could find it real quick. It's in the Psalms, and I was reading it, and it came to my awareness that it wasn't what I thought it was, something different. Excuse me for a second, but I think it does fit. If I could find it quickly. It's in Psalm 81:10. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Not only does that show the picture of Jesus desiring to pour the water in, but also, if you will, the mouth is a place of communication. It's a prayer and belief and trust that what I am praying that God is hearing. And when my heart aligns with His heart, He pours abundantly into it. So as we've come together, if we listen to this about waking up, about looking up, about wising up, about suiting up, about growing up, about powering up, He desires to do it more than your heart right now is crying out. That's the wonder of it all. So my encouragement to all of us is to hear this, listen up, now to put it into practice. Open up your mouth wide and say, Lord, fill it to overflowing for your purpose, not mine. That my life would be lived out for your purpose, for your glorification, understanding that time is short here, and you're looking for those that you can use in this day and age to be your sons and daughters of light, because you're coming back soon, and the Lord does not desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so He looks to us so that our mouths would be open so that He could fill them with His Spirit, that you and I would pray accordingly, but we would also speak according to His will. Now, in conclusion, hear me. Depths of my heart. I used to have this mentality, because again, in my youth, that it's so hard to die to self. In fact, I would have morning days of death, saying, I want to die, Lord. Kill this person. And then there was a sadness to it. It's like, I don't know what that means. What does it mean to die to self? Now as I've gotten older, I realize something. It's the most joyous day you can have. That you no more think about yourself. That you're not the number one in your mind, besides what BTO would sing, looking out for number one. It's not that. Oh, I just aged myself there. It's okay. It's about waking up. Eyes on Him, and I'm free. I'm free from everything that I thought I had to be. I'm free from everything that you might think of me. I'm free from everything that will cause pain and sorrow. Not that I may experience it, but I know Him who's with me. And He's saying, this is not it. Keep going. Keep going. Armor up. Get ready for the battle. I'm with you. Just as with the children of Israel, I gave them the power for victory. I'm giving you the power for victory. And then He says, do you believe me? Then open your mouth. Let's pray. Father, our prayer this morning is that we would listen up, that we would hear your word, that it would speak to us in volumes, but Lord, we would apply it. My prayer for each of us is that this would be a church with mouths open wide, and no more being held by the past, but dead to that and alive to Christ. We are eternal beings, and this mortal must put on immortality. That we shall live forever in your presence, but not in the presence of sin ever again. That we are children of the King. And you've called us to battle. But not battle with ourselves anymore. To see the battle that rages around us. That we too may be instruments in your hands in this day, in this darkness. Being used by you with the content, the growth, the power, the love, the grace, the mercy, the plan of the Eternal One. That every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and He reigns inside us. Have your way with each of us. In my prayer for those that are reluctant, Lord, I pray that you'd help them through their reluctancy. Use this church, Lord, for your purpose and your glory. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.